The PNB report. Margie, you want to start and see if you can point the mic in a way that doesn't.
Okay.
Thanks.
I don't know. Is this mic on?
Is the mic
I'm all right.
On?
Is it echoey? Is it bad? Is it a
no,
problem?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Okay. So let me just go through a number of topics quickly. First of all, on the elections, at our last meeting, the PNB passed a resolution directing myself as the interim executive director to hire a national election supervisor by December 1st and to charge the national election supervisor with organizing our elections going forward. Based on the timelines that are mandated in the bylaws, I think it means that elections will take place in the spring of next year. And I have determined that there is money in the PNB budget to pay the salary of the National Election Supervisor. The bulk of the costs of elections falls on the stations, and while all of the stations have budgeted amounts in their fiscal year 2015 budgets for elections, whether that will be, I don't have to pay attention to time limits.
Okay.
that's a matter to be determined. The healthier stations, I think, will be able to pay their share of the elections costs. I don't know what's going to happen to the other stations. And the elections committee will continue to talk about ways in which to run these elections that would be cost-saving and certainly mean that they would cost far less than what we spent last year. On the executive director search, the application deadline has closed. I'm not exactly sure how many. I asked the chair of the personnel committee to tell me how many applications have been received, but I didn't hear back from her, and I didn't have time to bug her about it. So I don't know exactly. There were about 20 applications received in the national office, but there was also a email address to which applications could be submitted directly, not coming through the national office, so I don't know how many were submitted there. The issue of the election, of the ED search, will be on the agenda for the PNB meeting, which is currently scheduled for next Thursday. I wanted to say that the fund drives throughout the network are now closed. The KPFA and KPFK did very well, actually meeting their fund drive goals within a matter of a few days after the drives closed, based on mostly online donations and some donations that were received in the mail. WPFW achieved about 72-73% of their goal. KPFT in Texas achieved about 85% of their goal. And we don't yet have a final report from WBAI, which just finished their drive yesterday. The audit is almost complete. The auditors were in the office from October 13th until whatever the Friday was a week ago yesterday. Halloween. They took off this past week because they're waiting for materials, which include minutes from PNB meetings, which have not yet been supplied to them. And documents which have been requested from a number of stations, but which stations had not yet had time to prepare. Having the audit happen at the same time as the fund drive posed a real problem for some of the business managers. And rather than charge us money, which is what they do when they're in our office, they went and did somebody else's audit last week. They'll return to the office this Monday, and hopefully we'll complete the audit by Friday. This is good news all around, first of all, because everybody wants the audit. I have to say that this year's audit was more rigorous than past audits because had been discovered some irregularities in spending in the national office and at some of the stations, which have all been sort of dealt with, but because of them, the auditors had to delve more deeply with a finer tooth comb, kind of. Since we met last, I've been able to reach payment agreements with with three additional creditors who were threatening to sue us, so that we're now paying off old bills, but we don't have to go to court over any of them. There are GM searches going on at KPFK and WPFW. Those positions are open, and it is the position of myself and the CFO, who are charged with monitoring the network-wide hiring freeze, that because those both are positions which were being recruited for prior to the time the hiring freeze was implemented, and because they are budgeted in those stations' budgets for this coming year, that those hires will be approved. We may have some discussion with stations if they want to pay more than what they've budgeted for, which happens sometimes, and so we'll have to work that out. But we'll do that on a case-by-case basis. I just want to make, because there was some unclarity, I want to make clear that there is a hiring freeze system-wide in the network, which means that any new hires, and in fact any replacement hires of any kind, full-time, permanent, part-time, temporary, consultants, that all of those have to be approved. Under the resolution adopted by the PMB, the CFO, Raul Salvador, and I have authority to make decisions about hiring at the local stations, and any hiring that would take place in the national office has to be approved by the Pacifica board. We had, I know it happened kind of late and it wasn't very well advertised, but we did have network-wide use of Democracy Now!'s election coverage, which I heard a little bit of and thought was really good. If you want to go back and listen to the archives, I thought the segment with Ralph Nader was particularly interesting and enlightening. And we're talking at Quincy mentioned the GM's meeting. There is a meeting every week of general managers and program directors, and they talk about things like what can we look at in terms of national programming. The national programming is helpful both because it maximizes the resources of all of the local stations, and sometimes, like the election coverage, it's very good coverage, and it promotes the importance of Pacifica and repairs our damaged reputation. That programming is always available to our affiliates, of which there are now something like 230. And Ursula Rutenberg, who's the head of, is the affiliates coordinator for the network, announced that in the last month she's had in their experience, kind of a flood of local stations that want to join the Pacifica affiliates program, so that they can get things like Democracy Now!, Margaret Prescott's show from L.A., Mitch Jesuit's program, and others. And we've just had, for the first time, one of the a radio station that's housed at one of the historical black colleges, and they are particularly interested in airing Hard Knock Radio. And Laura mentioned that on the call. So these are all good things for us. The affiliates pay fees to Pacifica based on their budget. They're very modest fees, and many affiliates have such modest budgets that they don't pay any fees at all. But the ones that have some money pay some money, and it helps us in terms of the income in the national office, and also gives us some flexibility around the issues of the kinds of programs that can be aired through AudioPort. Let me see. Did I cover everything? I think I covered everything that was on my list, and after Brian and Janet contribute whatever they want to contribute to this report, I guess we'll take questions.
Brian? Nothing?
Mm-hmm. No. That was pretty comprehensive.
Talk about the budgets.
Comprehensive.
That was pretty comprehensive. I'm chairing the Finance Committee, which is still working on budgets for the network. We've been able to approve budgets for KPFA, KPFT, the National Office, the Pacifica Radio Archive, and with a gajillion provisos, WBAI. WPFW's budget has been held up because their local board insisted on more time to review it. It's also probably going to have to be redrafted given their fundraising results because they fell significantly short of what was budgeted for them. And KPFK has been lagging the furthest on preparing a budget. They turned over their business manager position earlier this year, rather abruptly, and just don't seem to have had any significant accounting or financial planning capacity since then. To the extent that they've been able to produce figures or budgets, most of the work has come out of the national office, where the accounting staff is already very overtaxed. And a lot of the stations, including KPFK and WPFW, are having a hard time grappling with what it means to not have CPB funding and not have any sources of income to backfill that with. KPFK, for instance, has similar provisions to its union contract that WBAI did, which trigger automatic severance payments if union members are laid off based on their seniority. So when WBAI went through drastic staff reductions, created an instant $275,000 liability that they did not have the money to pay, and still do not have the money to pay, and created legal problems for the network. So I'm not sure how that's going to shake out, but that's where we are at. The budgeting process is supposed to force us to have hard conversations, and that's what it's doing right now. Although we were having them much later than we should have.
Go ahead, and then Jan.
Just briefly, Pacifica Radio Archives is going to have 2 days of national fundraising, November 18th and 19th. And so that means, I think it means that almost all the programming during the day on all stations will be preempted. It sounds like it'll be kind of an interesting time. They've just completed work on a grant on women's history, and they have some fantastic radio documentaries, speeches by famous people and by people who aren't particularly famous at all, but who gave really terrific speeches and talks and interviews. So that'll be those 2 days. And so just to be forewarned, and also please tune in and listen and buy premiums from PRA because they need the support.
Janet.
Yes, hi. So
thank you.
About the hiring freeze, the motion that was passed by the PNB, it has been reported out. You can see it on pacifica.org, and if you go to reports on PNB executive sessions, you click there and look at October 2nd, and you can actually see the motion. As far as the personnel committee, the ED hire, at the last personnel meeting, an order of importance of job qualifications for the ED was decided on, and that was based on the job description and the order from most important to least important, whatever it is. Nonprofit management, fundraising, human resources, finances, legal, communication, promotion, governance, programming, and general administration. And there's a personnel committee meeting on Tuesday evening at 5:30 Pacific time. You can listen online, kpftx.org. You can see where you can do that. As far as the elections go, the election committee, there's a meeting on Monday, same time. So Margie covered most of it. There, I think I might have talked a little bit about this last time, but so the election that we're talking about currently is the one that was delayed from 2013 to this year to now. So it would not be certified until sometime in the spring next year. But then there's also the regular 2015 election. We haven't really gone there yet, whether there's some ideas about possibly combining it into one election. It would be more cost effective, but then how would that work logistically? Maybe it would be delayed, or in any case, to have two elections in one year would be kind of difficult financially and otherwise too. So anyway, I think I will stop there.
Donald, Joy, David, and Mal.
Coming back to the CPB funding issue, is there any likelihood ever CPB funding will resume to the network, and when, and how will that? Who will make that happen?
Well, ultimately, CPB will make that happen. Yeah. So they're basically strictly enforcing the rules that they're supposed to enforce for funding. Our major stumbling block, our status is suspended, not revoked. So we have suspended eligibility. What they nailed us for that we have not yet been able to resolve is compliance with their open meeting requirements. What we have to do is demonstrate to them for an entire quarter that we have had 100% compliance, which means every meeting of the national board, its committees, their subcommittees, the local boards, the local advisory boards, and their committees and subcommittees has been publicly noticed at least 7 days in advance through kpftx.org and through their station's website, and we have to be able to document every notice. In other words, it's not good enough to say it happened. We have to be able to show a screen capture or a server log. So the problem is that the entire network's funding is at the mercy of the least compliant subcommittee in the network, whoever that happens to be in a given quarter. Someone decides they can call a meeting on 5 days' notice. We got to wait until the next quarter to try to demonstrate compliance. Somebody's website gets hacked. This happened in New York, and they couldn't document that they'd had notices posted on their website for one meeting. We couldn't go back and try to get the funding reinstated till the quarter. So our next bite at the apple is January 1st. We hope to be able to show compliance for the quarter we're currently in. And as far as I know, Margie can correct me, we know of no violations so far this quarter. Now, 100% compliance is a much higher standard than we would have to meet if we were eligible and just trying to catch up, right? The issue is they flagged problems for us in an audit several years ago. We did not address them, and then they suspended us, and it's a much higher hurdle to get reinstated. So we will not have the same burden should we get reinstated, where we have to be 100% perfect all of the time. But that's where things stand.
So who's overseeing that on our end?
Okay, so let me speak to that. Otis McClay, who is one of our two Pacifica IT engineer guys, there are two, him and John Amella. Otis McClay is the compliance officer, and I have been assisting him in every way I can to hound and beat and yell at and shame stations to be compliant. At this point, everyone has, Otis developed a thing, please, this is technical language. I don't know what it's called. thing. That each station can put on their website that that automatically supplies the information because it connects to the Pacifica calendar. He also fixed the Pacifica calendar so that you cannot post a meeting that is less than 7 days going forward. It just simply won't let you. It tells you, you can't do this. This isn't okay. The only station that, every station has done this. There was a problem at KPFA, but they've got a new web consultant who fixed it immediately. We're having a little bit of a problem with WBAI, although the information is available. It's not available in a way that makes life easy for Otis, and it also is not, it's not the way that CPB prefers it. But it's okay. So they have a bazillion screenshots because it's not done. But it's being fixed. They promise they'll fix it. The other thing I want to say is there's one other thing that's holding up our CPB money, which is something called the AFRs, which are audited financial reports. The audit that is being completed right now is for fiscal year 2013. And they want the AFRs. They were due at the beginning, March of this year. For fiscal year 2014, the audit is going to begin fairly soon after the beginning of the year so that we will have our 2014 AFRs available on schedule. That's the plan. So we're hoping to climb out of this crevice that we're in. We did learn last week that there is money allocated on their. They have a place called ISIS. I swear to God, I don't know what that stands for, but at their ISIS site, you can see how much money is allocated for each station. Or in our case, I think it's allocated network-wide. But anyway, I'm not sure about that. So, but at ISIS, we were informed, you can see that there is money available for Pacifica stations. It's been allocated, but of course, it hasn't ever been distributed.
Joy, David, Mel, Barbara, and I would like to do what we did with Quincy. I would like Joy, David, and Mal to raise their questions and then people to answer them rather than the one at a time, and it'll take too long. Joy. David, you've got the mic.
Thank you guys for serving on the Pacifica National Board and for sharing with us. First of all, I'd like to get some idea from Brian how much money network-wise we should have gotten or would have gotten had we been in compliance from the CPB per year. I'd like to know, get some idea, a rough idea of how much the archives are raising on these fund drives. I haven't had any report from anyone about what they're doing, how much money they're making. And then the other thing I'm worried about with the compliance thing is, does the general manager and the PD committee have to notice their meetings 7 days in advance as all? And I just want to know if that's true or if not. The reason why I'm saying that is because I would like to suggest we consider as a local station board that we send a recommendation to the Pacifica that we hire someone to do our CPB compliance. We're losing a lot of money and we need a person who's designated to do that for the network. So this is just my suggestion, but before I make that a wholehearted proposal or whatever, which I won't do now, I'd like some more information.
Okay, David, and then Mal.
I had two questions for Margie. The first thing was, you mentioned, and you said it fast, so I didn't catch it, the affiliate, the name of the affiliate coordinator for the network. I take it that's a paid employee of the network.
Yep.
And what was that?
Name? You're listing your questions, and then they'll answer
okay.
them.
Oh, okay. And the second question is, did you say audio port?
Okay.
And so what is an audio port?
Got it.
Okay, Brian, you want to send the microphone down for mail?
It's caught, yeah.
There it goes. It's good.
When I was last on the PNB, which was over 40 years ago, we had it. A resolution, and we defeated it to accept public money. And what I would like to know is whether there's been any discussion since we have been in a hiatus for getting CPB money, whether there has been a discussion about doing without CPB money, government money, and trying to run the station, the foundation, like we used to, without government money.
Okay, so let's answer those questions. Whichever of the three of you want to step up. Janet, you had your hand up before. What?
Yeah, it is my understanding, as Brian had described, as far as noticing meetings, all meetings, committees, subcommittees, etc., of PNB, LSBs, whatever, need to be noticed. So any committee of this body would need to be noticed as well.
Margie?
Okay. Am I on?
No.
Okay. I'm going to let Brian answer the questions about money from CPB and the archives money. The GM and PD meeting is a management meeting. It's a closed meeting. It's not public, and it's not a subcommittee of any body of the network. We are not required to notice those meetings 7 days in advance. Closed meetings do not require... it's a whole separate thing. It's not a committee. It's the management of the network meeting to talk about things. The 7 days notice requirement applies to open meetings. Closed session meetings do not require 7 days notice, but they do require report outs, which is what Janet was talking about, the report outs that are on the website. And so any closed meeting has to produce a report out that says what was discussed at the meeting, and if a motion was taken which appropriately belongs in public, then that would be posted there as well. We do have a compliance person. I'm sorry that wasn't clear. That's Otis McClay, he works for the network, and he has other job responsibilities, but at this point, his primary responsibility is CPB compliance, and that's what he's working on, and that's what he does all the time. And does the best. He is working as hard as he can to make sure everything comes out right. The affiliates coordinator is a woman named Ursula Rutenberg, who's worked for Pacifica for many years. I don't know how many, maybe like 15. 14, okay. she lives in Ames, Iowa, and her job is to solicit affiliates. That is, she contacts people at small local radio stations whom she thinks could benefit from having access to Pacifica programming. AudioPort is I don't know what it is. It's something up there in the sky that feeds programming to stations, to the affiliates. And AudioPort currently carries Democracy Now! And then a number of programs from around the network. I think almost every station contributes programs to AudioPort. I know that both Mitch Jezerich's program and Hard Knock Radio are available on AudioPort from KPFA. There may be others I don't know about. Huh?
Flashpoints.
Flashpoints. Anything else?
Against the Grain.
Caroline Casey. Okay. And there are, you know, programs on KPFK, Ian Masters and Margaret Prescott, and I don't know who else. And there are programs, I think it's possible, I'm not sure whether the station in Houston has any programs, but it's quite an array of programs. One of the things that AudioPort is doing right now is that it is Ursula is working with an attorney to upgrade the licensing of AudioPort so that we can play certain kinds of music that we can't use now. I'm not clear about the details on that. Good. But it will make it more attractive. And finally, that's what Mal said about CPB funding is very interesting, because I have heard a number of people saying, well, maybe we should just give up on CPB funding. And this year, every station had to write a budget that did not include any CPB funding. And people are finding it difficult. In addition to that, Pacifica used some of its CPB money to pay for Free Speech Radio News. Once we stopped getting CPB money, Pacifica stopped paying Free Speech Radio News. They sued us, and we are in court over the fact that we owe them about $250,000. And we're hoping to work out some kind of payment arrangement with them so that we don't have to go forward with that lawsuit. But that's the current situation. And Brian can talk about how much and archives.
So AudioPort's a website that stations use to share programs with each other.
Oh, there you go.
It's not for public use. It's for moving a program from one station to another. The PRA is budgeted to raise $75,000 per day of fundraising. So that's $150,000 this fall, and then they have one day scheduled for the spring.
And how did they do in the last one?
Which last one?
The last fundraising on air.
So their last two were not carried by all stations. One was on our birthday, and we were doing our own fundraiser.
Okay.
And then they had an emergency fundraiser sometime in the summer that not all the stations carried. Last fall, I don't have the numbers at my fingertips, but my recollection is they did a little bit more than $75,000 a day.
That's right.
Okay, let's keep to the questions.
Wait.
Yeah. So I actually was hoping Margie might have current numbers, because if you have the ISIS numbers, you would know what our allocation is for this year. Again, I don't have it at my fingertips. My recollection is that it was for 2013, somewhere in the vicinity of 1.1 million network-wide was what our allocation was. That's AudioPort. And we haven't had a debate about taking government money. I mean, you know, my position on this, CPB money, the only strings that come attached to it are things we probably want to do anyway, like post our financial statements publicly and give the public notice of our governance meetings and be in compliance with EEO practices for hiring. There are no ideological strings attached to that money. It's distributed according to how many listeners we have and how much non-government money we can raise. I think it's where taxpayer money should be going. You know, we have, if you compare us to most other industrialized democracies, 1/30th of the per capita subsidy for public broadcasting that they do. And I think it's money that we should not only take, I think it's money that we should fight to keep in the federal budget.
Okay, we're not going to have this debate, though. Thank you for your position on that.
That's my position on it. And it may prove to be that without the CPB money for some of our rockier stations, it's simply not viable for them to stay on the air.
Okay. And Janet, were you going to respond to these questions?
Yes. So I know. Maybe I didn't make it clear, or maybe I said something I didn't mean to say, as far as committees, subcommittees. So when it comes to subcommittees of this committee, this is a standing committee of the national board, this meeting, the LSB. All of those subcommittee meetings are supposed to be noticed, and
that's
the
right.
GM hire and the PD hire committee subcommittees of this body were subcommittees is my point, not the PD meetings or the, you know, the management meetings or the GM management meetings. And you know, if there's whether they're public or not, they have to be noticed.
There's a disagreement here.
Okay, so anyway, we'll explore that and maybe come back next time with definitive information.
All right, next I have Barbara and Andrea.
I have one really quick question. Tell us again what AFR means.
Audited financial reports.
Audited financial. All right. No. My second question is, I said
that
I had two.
I
started out with two. I would like to know if the compliance schedule or requirements includes having accurate member lists on the website. Our member list for LSB has been totally up for months. And they're not updating it. I know Craig has tried to get them to update it. And I think that's really a bad thing to have a list that is out of date. It's severely out of date. And one other list does not include a voting member, and that's the CFO on the National Finance Committee. I did.
I know. Okay,
Andrea.
I think Andrea, yes, give Andrea the mic.
Just a couple things. I actually think that the CPB money conversation may be a good one for us to have, and maybe we should put that on the agenda if we're not all kind of putting all our oars in the water in the same direction. Maybe that's sort of what's holding it up on some level. I think I just think it's kind of crazy to watch so much be crumbling within the network and then to say that we don't need this money, that we can do without. And until we have alternatives up and running that are, you know, income streams that could supplant that money, I just don't understand I don't understand the other side of the debate, frankly.
Okay, well, we're not going to have it here.
But I'd like to ask that we put it. Let's have it. To be honest, it should be on the air. We should have our membership, because I feel like there's drag. There's sort of ideological drag. People thinking that they're helping us to be more independent, but that won't work if we crumble. So I'd like it to be on a future agenda. Mr. Secretary, you might make note of that and put it on the agenda for next time. I would also like to linger on the question of elections, because I feel like the pace of elections is going really slow. And maybe our LSB needs to organize a resolution that we empower our delegates to go to the PMB and say, this is what we need. We want an election. Because I'm concerned that the whole credibility of governance is being undermined by the fact that we're not having elections. I'm losing track of where the authority in this station lies, or where the authority in the network lies. So I would also like to ask that we include elections on our next agenda, that we actually talk about what this body feels is a reasonable position, and that we empower our delegates with that. You look like you want to say something.
We'll put it on the agenda, and then we'll vote whether or not it'll be on the agenda when we get to next month's meeting on December.
Do we vote on agenda items? I thought they were just
No, we vote on the agenda.
Oh, true that. Okay.
Right.
And I just wanted to pipe up and say that governance didn't meet yesterday. We were unable to make quorum. And that also kind of, on some level to me, speaks of our inability to effectively govern. I don't think we're doing it.
Okay, what?
Go ahead.
Is my mic on? Okay. I said what AFR is. Accurate membership, member lists, I don't know if the CBP requires it, but I require it, and I'm going to do whatever I can to make it happen. I agree with Andrea. I think we should have the CPB money conversation. But let me say that no one right now who is working on getting us in compliance with CPB is of the opinion that we don't need or shouldn't have that meeting. All of us are those of us who are working on the issue of compliance are deeply, fervently committed to getting whatever Pacifica can get out of the CPB. Let me say two things about that. The CPB's funding has been cut. CPB is not a government agency. It is a private corporation that receives money from the government and distributes it to public radio or to public broadcasting. So for the last 2 years, funding from the Congress to the CPB has been cut. They are anticipating further cuts. And so, you know, some of this may be out of our hands, depending on what Congress does. So I just wanted to say that. And I want to say that by the time we meet in December, a national election supervisor will have been hired and will have some idea about the pace of elections going forward.
Janet.
Yes, just quickly, I too would like to have that discussion about CPB money. I have mixed feelings. And as far as the election goes, maybe it would be a good thing for this body to come up with a motion from the LSB itself, but anybody can post something to the PNB list, the whole PNB set of directors, emailing pnb@pacifica.org.
Maybe I'll just add, you know, on the CPB front, financially we're planning like we won't get the money. You know, hope for the best, plan for the worst, but we're building budgets on the assumptions that no part of the network will have any CPB money through the end of the year.
Okay.
Which is producing a lot of dilemmas at the station level.
We are now going to move on to the CAB report. Carol. You have to stand back, right? Good. Thank you.
Carol Wolfley from the Community Advisory Board, your CPB mandated Community Advisory Board. I wanted to just say that last night I realized that our meeting had not gone in for next Sunday, and because the person who usually posts was not there. And I was really happy that within 3 hours I sent out an email and it was on the website, and I want to thank Otis and Miguel for doing that and saying that it's working. So on another note, the CAB is continuing to meet with individuals and organizations in the community, and we plan a series of events around that. And at our last meeting, there were a number of people who were from the outreach committee, and it was clear that there's a lot of chaos in the outreach committee because there are people who are wanting to work for the station in different ways, and people got really discouraged with the phone room closing with the last fund drive. And so I think it needs attention to organize volunteers in different ways with outreach, with literature, and having predictable, available literature that's updated, and Perrine does that. But she does it on her own, and we need literature that covers local community programming and that covers local community news and public affairs, and we're working on that. And I understand one of the things that came up and we've been discussing at our meetings is with local community news, and I know it's on your agenda. today is that there's often not enough resources for local community news because people are in the station trying to do their broadcast and at the same time not able to always get out. And so one of the things we want to support is outreach to interns. And we have a Department of Journalism at UC Berkeley that we can work with. We have a lot of different people in the community that are could be trained and work with that. And, you know, there is a little notice on the website right now, but that would be something that we can continue to work with. And I know that Perina is working, I believe, with you, Brian. Is that right? On, you know, more outreach material and maybe intern recruitment?
She asked me for a photo.
Well, good. That's the beginning, huh? But so I hope that the recruitment of interns may come up at the at your discussion, and also the audio, video live streaming. We have heard from a number of organizations and people and have been working and talking with the apprenticeship program about the need for audio, video, live streaming. And I know that recently with the October 22nd protest against mass incarceration, there was live stream video that reached people were networking their different organizations, and there were 44,000 viewers on the channel. So I think it's really, and we have a person who's willing to work with the station with live streaming. So these things with a cell phone camera and very little equipment, and Ustream and live stream are not expensive. So these are things that can be done without a lot of money. And so I look forward to hearing your discussion. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Carol.
Is your mic off? Oh.
I see no one who is going to participate in this lively discussion that you look forward to hearing.
At the new business side.
New business.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. So, KFCF report. Microphone. Thank you.
Basically, we are working on our annual banquet, and we're working on putting together some events for next year. Not a lot of stuff going on at KFCF new at the moment, and we are still on the air, and things seem to be going okay.
Okay. All righty.
Still on the air.
All right. We are at Old Business live streaming. Janet.
Yeah, I'm distributing the motion. It's modified from the September motion, and I can read it. This basically supports what Carol Wolfley just was talking about. The LSB encourages expanded airing of live streamed and archived audio video material using the KPFA video channel on KPFA's present and future websites. This audio video material may be coordinated with KPFA's audio program on FM radio and on the website. Local events can be audio video streamed in real time and or filmed by one of several KPFA workers and volunteers currently experienced in this area, and apprentices are especially encouraged to be trained to create and post audio video live stream footage. On-site audio video coverage of cultural gatherings, big local news, and community events not reported by corporate-sponsored media can help put KPFA in the forefront as a radio media resource at a relatively low cost. And may I motivate?
Yeah, do we have a second? Okay, sure.
Right, so Actually, it would be great if Quincy were here and Laura, because that's where this would be implemented. But to me, it's kind of obvious. I know some people are saying, oh, we don't have resources, but there are plenty of people, not necessarily KPFA staff, either paid or unpaid, who have skills in this and would want to contribute to this. And whether it's be doing the actual streaming or supporting it in any kind of ways. And it's we are going to have a new website, so it could be built to include this. So I hope that we can get this going.
Okay, let's see. We're going to get Jack, Mark, Frank, Barbara, Margie, Mal, that's my blind spot, David, Burton.
Good Lord.
Okay, Jack.
I move to, oh yes, the microphone. How come you guys get a blue microphone and I get a yellow one?
We have a yellow one too.
Okay, well, but it's a different yellow one.
Oh, come on.
Okay, all right. So I move to amend this motion by deleting the second and third paragraphs. And if I get a second to that, I'd like to speak to my motion. Okay. So it seems to me that the second and third paragraphs of the motion are arguments for the motion or descriptions of the consequence of the motion rather than the motion itself. So I would hope that Janet accept the deletion of the second and third paragraphs as a friendly amendment to clarify exactly what the motion is.
Okay.
If you would like to have...
Okay. Now, on this, on the amendment, David.
Yes, I have a point of clarification.
You need a microphone? You can have a blue one.
Okay, just to be perfectly clear. I believe that what you're saying, Jack, is that the second and third paragraphs are whereases of the motion and that the resolve is the first paragraph. Wouldn't that be a good way of putting it? So rather than delete it, why don't we just reorder it, make them whereases, and then have the first paragraph be the operative?
You can make a motion. Amendment to the amendment.
That's an amendment to the amendment. Is that an amendment to the amendment?
Why not?
Why not? Is there a second to the amendment to the amendment? Of course. Okay. So.
Good question.
Move, okay, and on discussion on the amendment to the amendment, seeing none. All in favor of the amendment to the amendment, raise your hand.
Well, just say what it is.
Everybody knows what it is, Margie. Okay, the amendment to the amendment is, okay, yeah.
Have the secretary read what's going into the record when we vote on this.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the way amendment to the amendment is just the first paragraph will be a resolved, and second and third paragraph will be whereas.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor of the amendment to the amendment, please raise your hands. And so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12, yes. I think that might be a majority. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, four, five. Okay, there are five no's and abstentions. There are no abstentions. One. I'm recording the damn extension. Is Brian abstaining? Yes, okay. I'm sorry it said his name. I'm so sorry. Okay. Therefore, we are now discussing the amended, wait a minute. So we've passed the amended amendment. Now, oh, wait a minute. We passed the amendment to the amendment. Now we'll discuss the substitute motion as amended, which I think is the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Da, didn't we just vote on that? Okay, we'll vote on the amended. Go ahead, Mal.
I just wanted to say that the amendment clarifies this motion and removes some of the ambiguity that I feared that it had, because the first paragraph, which is now the operative one, says that the LSB encourages expanded airing. It doesn't direct anybody to do anything, which it doesn't have the power to do anyway. So I like it in that form.
Janet, and then Donald.
Yes, I support the current substitute, whatever it's called, motion. I would like, I don't know whether this is appropriate at this point, but assuming it passes, that it be communicated to the general manager and the PD.
Donald.
The reason I will vote against this motion is that I don't understand the necessity for it. We just have the general manager and the program director here indicating that they intend to do precisely these things. So why do we need to encourage them in a motion when they already intend to do it?
Frank. Okay, Margie.
I want to say that I think that there are,
that's fascinating.
that there are costs here that no one has talked about. I had some communication from Michael Yoshida, who indicated that in order to do this live stream, you have to utilize something called Ustream. I don't know what that is. That costs anywhere from $99 per minute to $999 per minute. No. Okay. I'm just telling you what he said. In any event, there must be some costs associated with this. I do not believe that there are no costs associated with live stream. And those costs clearly weren't in the budget that we just adopted and which was approved by the NFC. So, you know, while I'm happy to let people explore things, I'm afraid that if a motion comes from the LSB, that there will be some pressure on management to make this a top priority when, in fact, I don't think it should be a top priority.
Are you going to reveal secrets? Like you did last time on this subject? No. Oh.
Poor microphone.
Are you following the staff?
Pardon?
Hello. So
no.
I had
Now let's do something here. There had been a stack that was on the original motion, and that got lost in here. And some people feel as if because they were on a stack on the subject matter that they really were already in line to speak. And because it got all substituted, I changed the stack. And so I am going to revert to the stack and Frank, hello. I'm going to revert to the stack and that means Mark comes next, and then you're after that. Go ahead.
Echoing part of what Margie said.
I think it might be that one. Go ahead.
I work in the business of the internet. That's my job. And one of the things you people haven't really considered is that the internet is not free. If you're lucky and you've got a good provider, you get 300 gigabytes a month as part of your service. If you go above that, they start charging you much, much more. And it's not the provider of the service, it's your service provider, your company that gives you the internet, your access to the internet. You're paying for the streamline that goes to the different sites and everything else. If you're a personal user that has 10 to 30 people using your site, that's usually covered into the cost. You start bringing in thousands, millions, then you start paying through the nose because it's not an arithmetical, it's a geometrical progression. You start going to 500 gigabytes, your cost goes up by about $2,000 a month. You start going above 500 gigabytes, you start looking at getting a new line, going from a T1 or a T3 to a DS12 or an OC24. And that's when you're talking about fiber optic cable being run just to handle the load. So unless these numbers have been figured out, it's not just a matter of paying for a service to ViewStream or anywhere else. It's for paying for your actual internet access on top of that service.
Frank.
Okay, yeah, so there may be some cost in the end, but there is, people will be looking into working with Ustream or working with other companies that do similar live streaming stuff. In fact, SoundCloud, who a lot of people are posting to now, cut a deal or something with KPFA that gave most people unlimited access to update stuff because they wanted content. So there could be options to explore. And yeah, there may have to be something allowed to the budget in the future for it because, I mean, this could be a fundraising tool for KPFA. It could bring in a lot of people. There's video archives that they do for us. Q, like he said, is willing to meet and have discussions on this, and whether it's bandwidth limitations or whatever it is, but Michael Yoshida talks with the engineer. I'm not an engineer. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I'm going to be definitely exploring options to have this happen. If we could have, like, one of my visions is having a bank of channels on wherever the video channel may be. You can go there. There'd be a full circle channel, which we already have a Ustream channel. La Onda has a Ustream channel. Other people are developing their own channels. And so this could be an alternative source of content that could be running at the same time KPFA is on the air. You can go to kpfa.org, pick the channel that has something happening, and you could listen to an alternative source. So that's where it could help KPFA in putting out more material, an alternative source to what's on the air. If you're not into something that's on the air at this moment, maybe one of the channels has something awesome. It may be video, it may be audio. So this is a great tool. It could be a fundraising tool in the future for KPFA. I think everybody remembers a while back when Sonali got on whatever that channel is, Free Speech TV, people were fairly happy that we had someone else on another channel. We could have our own channel where we could be broadcasting ourselves. So it's already been happening. We've been broadcasting events. I did my first one in 2009 at Iraq Veterans Against the War Roundtable, where we discussed stuff that they were doing for an hour and a half, and was video streamed back then. So one of the costs I know is to have adless streaming, which is $100 a month to keep the Ustream channel with no ads. So that's one of the costs. But I mean, like SoundCloud did, maybe there could be some negotiations. We have a certain amount of channels. We provide a certain amount of content. Ustream cuts us a deal. So there's all kinds of ways to look into it. May there be a budget allocation in the future? Maybe. Maybe we'll have to look into that and discuss that. That's what we do here. We talk about that kind of stuff. So I see this motion as passing. I hope we're almost all in agreement on the adaptation to it, whatever you call it. So I don't see why we wouldn't almost be the same way. It's just another way to encourage our management. If they plan on doing it, well, then what's it going to hurt to just say yes? And just to give them a little extra that we're all behind you with this motion. So I would encourage everyone to vote yes on this. It's just another way we could provide more content for our listeners. May there be a cost? There may be. Do we know what it is right now? No. But a lot of it's free. Some people are streaming free from the streets by themselves. So Thank you all, and I would encourage you to vote yes on this motion.
Actually, I'm sorry, Frank, I'm going to vote no. And the reason is this. I am totally in favor of this kind of activity, and our management has said they're pursuing it. So I kind of think it's a waste of time for us to be talking about this, and whether you like it or not, I don't like the idea of passing resolutions just for public display that we are telling the management what to do. The staff representatives here are in the station. He's got an open office. Go and talk to him. When he's got meetings set up for this, go and give your input. And members of the LSB who are not on the staff and in the station all the time can communicate with him by email. I just think we have to let the man manage, and he is got a lot of great ideas. I'm not against this, but I'm against our LSB trying to do management stuff all the time.
Mal, do you still want to speak? Okay. Who is this?
Sam, sir.
No, I know she's on the list, but there's somebody else here. David, did you already have your say? Oh, he wanted to call
no,
the
mic.
Question.
Where's your mics? Put your mics on.
All those in.
Give him the mic.
Why?
But she recognized David, not him.
David called the question. All those in favor of calling the question, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's the majority. You need two-thirds? Do I need two-thirds?
Yes. You don't need two-thirds of what?
Yes, yes, you do.
No,
sir.
Close debate. Robert's rules is
closing debate takes a two-thirds vote. Do you want a citation?
Okay, so 13, and how many are we? How many are we? How many no votes? 1, 2. That's two-thirds. So we're calling the question. Okay. All of those in favor of the motion as we now understand it, and here, I will read it again. Or do you want to read it, Aki? I'll read it. Okay. Resolve. The LSB encourages expanded airing of live-streamed and archived audio-video material using the KPFA video channel on KPFA's present and future websites. This audio-video material may be coordinated with KPFA's audio program on FM radio and on the website. Whereas local events can be audio-video...
I'm sorry, it was reversed.
What?
Well, the whereases go first, and the thing you read in the beginning goes at the end. But we all know...
Okay.
That.
That's not what the secretary rattled off.
Well, I made a mistake.
No.
Procedure.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? It has the same impact. Whereas the local events can be audio, video, streamed in real time or filmed by one of several KPFA workers and volunteers currently experienced in this area, and apprentices are especially encouraged to be trained to create and post audio, video, live stream footage. Whereas on-site audio video coverage of cultural gatherings, big local news, community events not reported by corporate sponsored media can help put KPFA in the forefront as a media resource at a relatively low cost. Okay, all in favor, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Abstentions? 1, 2, 3. It passes.
Woo!
Okay. All right. Budget workshop. What?
So I, what I raised earlier.
Yes, we heard you.
So this will be communicated to the GM. Thank
yes.
you.
Budget workshop, Janet.
Oh. Right. So last month I proposed a training for this body, given by Hank Levy, who is a CPA and has a lot of experience and credentials. And this was initially a 15-minute training, and so what I am proposing is an hour, possibly, in December. Now, he was available for December 6th, but I don't know if he would be available. We just changed the date of the December meeting. So the proposal is for a budget workshop, meaning learning about budgeting in general and the ins and outs, and maybe even reading spreadsheets in general and other kinds of issues, for an hour on December, what is it, 13th? When are we having the meeting? Yeah. For the next meeting.
And there's a second for this motivation, huh?
What's the language of the motion?
Okay, what's the language of the motion, Janet? Write it down now. Yeah. Mail. I'm presuming there's a second to this. Yeah, okay, Mail.
I think the motion's a good one, but I don't think that wedding it to a December date is realistic. In the first place, we don't know Hank's availability, so I would like to amend the motion to say at an early time to be decided between Hank and we should have a small committee of this body to work on it.
Name a committee.
All right. Well, I would like to see Janet and Margie and Barbara.
Okay. Is that, and as, do you see that as a friendly amendment? Yes. Okay. Could you write it up so that it includes that?
Can I just ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
You said an early something. Are you talking about early in the year, in 2015?
Well, soon. What
as early as possible. Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
What I meant was soon, that's all.
Yeah, okay. Pass around the baby. Pass around the baby.
I've got language.
Okay, see if this works for you, Janet. Go ahead. What is it? Mike. Mark, lift it up. That's it.
The motion is to task Chair Carol Travis, Janet Coburn, and Margie Wilkinson with setting up a 60-minute budgeting training led by Hank Levy for an upcoming LSB meeting.
Does that work?
Designate you. Is that okay? All right. All in favor, please. Okay.
I just want to be sure. Right. Is or designee added?
Add or designee. Because I have all the Pelican Brave work. I don't know if I can meet.
Well, actually, Mel recommended Barbara.
Barbara, all right with you? Barbara. Put Barbara instead of Karen. Okay. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand.
No.
I don't know. Who knows? opposed? It's unanimous. Opposed. One. Okay. All right. Andrea, local news coverage. She's not here. Is there a motion to adjourn? Or is she up?
Second.
That was great. Second.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Okay. Whatever. It passed.
Thank you.
Yes. We adjourned. I can't hear you. We will do that. Come next time and do that. And every other month.
No, we're gonna
cool. We're with you.
I'll be here Wednesday. I mean, I'll be here in December.
Did you hear that?
Oh, but what you want now?
Yeah, yeah. What are you?
I am saying.
Okay. Was Andrea in the bathroom?
I will be available to come in
every other month.
When
hockey?
It's a key issue.
Got it.
I am not going to run.
Got it. Totally get it. You've got my full support.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again.